to the Sea. That's Discovering Music at 5 o'clock. BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. It's 1 o'clock and time for the news from Lopa Kotari.
Five Iraqis who are accused of killing six Royal Military Police officers in southern Iraq have had the charges against them dropped. Two people will still stand trial. The officers, known as Red Capes, were attacked by a mob inside a police station in the town of Majar al-Kabir in 2003. The United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon is visiting Pakistan to see the response to the floods. He urged the international community to speed up the aid effort. Donor countries have given only a quarter of the £300 million the United Nations says is needed to provide clean water, food and shelter to millions of people who've been made homeless by the disaster. Defence officials have named a British soldier who died on Thursday of injuries he sustained in Afghanistan. Rifleman Raymond Coulomb, a Gurkha serving with the 1st Battalion, the Mercian Regiment, was 27 and originally from Nepal. He died in hospital in Birmingham. Politicians in Northern Ireland have condemned last night's petrol bomb attacks on police officers dealing with a series of security alerts in County Armagh. Three hoax bomb threats had earlier been made in Lurgan before a fourth device exploded without warning, injuring three children. Chief Inspector Sam Cordner of the Police Service of Northern Ireland said the incident had similarities to the Omagh bombing that he didn't want to see repeated. The former Labour Cabinet Minister Alan Milburn has confirmed that he will advise the coalition government on how to improve social mobility. His spokesman said he would be an independent assessor who would be free to criticise the government. Within the next few hours, the Prince of Wales will lead veterans in a service marking the 65th anniversary of Victory over Japan Day, known as VJ Day. He'll lay a wreath at the Cenotaph in London to mark the loss of almost 30,000 British lives in the Far East. And the weather, it'll be mostly dry and sunny in Northern Ireland, Wales and the southwest of England. Other parts of England and Scotland will see some cloud but should remain dry. Temperatures will reach the low 20s in most places, but eastern coastal areas of England and parts of western Scotland will be a little cooler. And that's the latest news and weather coming up to 3 minutes past one.
And now we join Lucy Skeeping for today's early music show, which begins with music by the late 16th century singer and composer Giulio Caccini.
Thank you. My fair Amarilli, you are my life. Open my breast and you will see your name written on my heart. Heady stuff. But then perhaps that would be expected from a leading member of the so-called Florentine Camerata, a group of poets, philosophers, scientists and musicians who, history tells us, were probably the first to come up with the multimedia entertainment we call opera. The composer in question is Giulio Caccini, a celebrated court musician of the late 16th century whose experiments with a new kind of florid singing based on the ideals of the ancient world would influence compositional style for years to come. But in this small way, the Caccini family were also precursors of the Bachs, the Couperins, the Scarlattis, the Boccherinis and the Puccinis, in that music was the family trade, except that the talent in the Caccini family went uniquely, I think, to the daughters. Giulio was a highly successful entrepreneurial composer and singer, famous not only for his contribution to the early history of opera, but also for his collection of songs with basso continuo, Le Nuove Musiche. But that's another story for another programme. Today we're highlighting the musical achievements of his daughters, Francesca and her younger sister, Settimia. Francesca Caccini must have been quite a star. Born in Florence in 1587, she showed early talent as a singer, going on to become a highly versatile all-round musician, equally at home on the keyboard, guitar, harp or lute. And unusually for the time, she was also an accomplished composer, the first woman to write an opera. And we'll be hearing something from that groundbreaking work towards the end of the programme. In fact, many scholars regard Francesca Caccini to have been perhaps the finest female composer between Hildegard of Bingen in the 12th century and the women composers who emerged in the 19th. So what sort of thing did she write? Well, let's hear a couple of examples. Io mi distruggo comes from her first collection, a book of 36 strikingly beautiful songs on a variety of themes. And as you'll hear, ornamentation was one of the key features of this new style. It aimed to give a stress to certain words, to add emotion and meaning, all of which seems pretty obvious to us today, but was actually very different from how music had sounded up till then. First, though, a devotional song accompanied by a recorder and organ, which gives us a very personal vision of the Nativity. Oh, what a new wonder! Marvel at the midnight turn to day. Come, shepherds, let us go to visit Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Songs by Francesca Caccini. Catherine Bott performed the first, O Che Nuovo Stupor, with the New London Consort, and the second was sung by Shannon Mercer. Florence, back around the early 1600s, was a pretty male-dominated society. It was ruled by the latest scion of the great Medici dynasty, the Grand Duke Ferdinando. A former cardinal, Ferdinando was a powerful figure. He built up Medici commercial interests, he strengthened the Tuscan navy, and somewhat controversially, he granted freedom for Jews to participate in the banking industry. But he was also, by the standards of the time, a cultured and benign ruler. It was in Ferdinando's Florence that Giulio Caccini and his learned aristocratic colleagues in the Camerata developed their theories of what came to be known as opera. But if musical theory could all be done by men, musical performance required the participation of women, at least as singers. You may have heard of the famous Concerto delle Donne, the Three Ladies of Ferrara in the 1580s and 90s, who entertained the court with madrigals, embellishing them with sensual movements and gestures. Well, one of them was almost certainly Caccini's first wife, Lucia, Francesca's mother. In 1600, Florence celebrated the marriage of Duke Ferdinando's niece, Maria de' Medici, to the King of France, Henri IV. This was a major political event for all concerned, and as one of the court musicians, Giulio Caccini was at the heart of it. Until then, the Medici family had allied the fortunes of Florence to those of Catholic Spain, while the French king had been raised a Protestant. So the wedding was widely seen as a deeply significant moment between the two countries, and as such, it required the grandest of entertainments. Nearly 4,000 of Europe's glitterati descended on Florence for 6 days of non-stop partying. The Pope himself performed the ceremony, arriving with his entourage in 12 carriages, each drawn by 6 horses. And at dinner, facing the top table, were constructed 2 elaborate peacock chariots from which an assortment of well-wishing deities sung songs in praise of the happy couple. The main attraction, though, was the performance on the final day of Il Rapimento di Cefalo, a new opera by Giulio Caccini, in which it's thought both Settimia and Francesca sang. In today's money, the whole production cost roughly an eye-watering £1 million, and it boasted the most up-to-date stage machinery, comedy, singing, dancing and lots more. It filled the eyes and ears of the spectators with such admiration, wrote someone not long after, that they were all astounded. Sadly, only a few fragments have survived, including the final chorus and the touching aria Caduca Fiamma, which we hear first. Music from Giulio Caccini's opera Il Rapimento di Cefalo, the centrepiece of the entertainments for the wedding between Maria de Medici and the French King Henri IV in 1600. 4 years later, Concerto Caccini went on an extended visit to Paris, where Francesca's singing deeply impressed Henri IV. "You are the best singer in the whole of France," he told her, and immediately offered her a post at court. Back in Florence, though, the Grand Duke was having none of it. He certainly did not want to lose one of his most accomplished musicians. So the Caccinis returned home again, and soon Francesca was married to another singer at the Medici court. Meanwhile, her youngest sister, Settimia, was carving out her own successful career over in Mantua at the Gonzaga court. This was the time of Monteverdi's residence there, and we know that Settimia appeared in his opera Arianna. And in time, she too got married to the singer and composer Alessandro Givizzani. Like her father and sister, Settimia also composed. We're going to hear some examples of her work later. But for now, here are a couple of her husband's compositions. With their robust folksiness, they're quite a contrast from the operatic style of the Caccinis that we've heard so far. "O fairest face, delightful smile, that everywhere gives joy to life, turn to me now and heal this languishing breast." But first, "Lilla, tu mi disprezzi." "Lilla, you disdain me, but I pursue you still. Reluctant lady, do your worst. In time, you will regret it." Singers on this recording are both from Prague, Ivana Bilebrokova and Markéta Kukrova. But it would be nice to imagine Settimia herself performing the songs, perhaps giving them a first run through in her husband's workroom while the ink was still drying.
Questa sera, languente debile.
Two songs by Alessandro Ghivizzani. Settimia Caccini gradually fades from the historical scene. Following her husband's death, she returned to Florence, after which the trail goes cold. Her sister Francesca, though, continued to wow the court with her singing and composing. The Medici court was certainly able to call upon a galaxy of talent when they needed musical entertainment. Alongside the Caccinis, there was Vincenzo Galilei and Jacopo Peri. And then there was the prolific and highly influential Marco da Galliano, whose opera Daphne was premiered just a few months after Monteverdi's Orfeo. He also worked for some 35 years as maestro di cappella, composing sacred music for the Ducal Chapel and Florence's Cathedral. Here's part of Galliano's Mass for Pentecost, Veni Sancte Spiritus. Religious music it may be, but as you'll hear, instead of the old complex polyphony so familiar in the church world, it shows the influence of the so-called new music, the new style innovation of the time, with harmonic blocks of sound that followed the natural rhythm of speech. After that, we'll hear another of Francesca's songs, a strangely disturbing aria to the lute, more in the style of a recitative or poem to music, full of unexpected harmonic twists and turns.
Thank you.
Shannon Mercer with Lascia Temi by Francesca Caccini, and before that, part of a mass by Marco Di Galliano. Earlier, I talked a little about Francesca's sister, Settimia, and how hardly any of her music has survived. In fact, we know more about her as a singer than as a composer. Her name appears in several starring operatic roles by Monteverdi, and contemporaries wrote with great admiration of her vocal abilities. This is Due Luci Ridenti by Settimia Caccini. Two laughing eyes, your calm gaze fills my breast with sweet torments. Two rosy lips with their sweet glow promise men's hearts the bright torches of love.
Luci ridenti con sguardo sereno.
Due Luci Ridenti, Two Laughing Eyes by Satimia Caccini, preceded by a preludio for lute by Capsburger. As for Francesca Caccini, well, her greatest claim to fame, I suppose, is that, so far as we know, she was the first woman to compose an opera, La Liberazione di Ruggiero dall'Isola d'Alcina. And yes, it is the same Alcina story taken from Ariosto that Handel was to set a century later. Francesco had already written the music for a number of stage works, light comedies, most of them, and a variety of songs and vocal duets to Italian and Latin texts. Sadly, many are now lost, but we can give you an excerpt from that famous Alcina opera. It's from an old LP recording made in 1975, and you could say the style of the string playing is a period piece in itself. Music from La Liberazione di Ruggiero, the opera by Francesca Caccini. Francesca and her sister Settimia are important figures in the history of music because, as composers, they thrived in a profession dominated by men. But I think their output, what we know of it, certainly holds its own anyway, and I suspect they'd loom even larger if more of their music had survived. Francesca's pieces in particular very much reflect the spirit of the age, the new innovations, the new drama and word painting that will become a central part of opera. So let's end with one of her more lively arias, Camor Sia Nudo, accompanied by baroque guitar. Camor Sia Nudo, in morgo l'albergo, stio
by Francesca Caccini, sung there by Shannon Mercer. And it ends today's Early Music Show. The programme was presented by Lucy Skeeping and produced in Manchester by Sam Phillips. In next weekend's Early Music Shows, Catherine Bott will be exploring the ill-fated Marguerite of Austria and works written in honour of music's very treasure and master, the 15th century composer Johannes Ockeghem. That's next Saturday and Sunday at 1 o'clock. And if you can't wait until then for another dose of early music, remember you can revisit both of this weekend's programmes. Simply go to the website, Radio 3, and that's only for the next 7 days.
Julia Fischer comes to the BBC Proms for two concerts that showcase her stunning virtuosity. In tonight's concert of Russian music, she plays Shostakovich's first violin concerto, and tomorrow performs a more intimate concert of chamber music. Her Monday recital starts with the technically demanding and intensely expressive first solo sonata by Eugénie Zaïre, followed by the romantically turbulent sonata by César Franck. Julia Fischer at the Proms, this evening at 6:30, and tomorrow lunchtime at 1, here on BBC Radio 3.
Well now, it's 2 o'clock and here's Chichi Nwanuku with more of your requests.
Hello, can you think of a better setting for a love song than a gondola ride across the lapping waters of the Grand Canal in Venice? the soothing barcarolle from The Tales of Hoffmann by Offenbach. Jessie Norman was the Venetian courtesan Giulietta, with Anne Murray as Nikolaus. The symphony orchestra and chorus of the Theatre Royal Brussels were conducted by Sylvain Cambrelang. I played it especially for Elspeth, who chose it for her mum who died recently, and it had been one of her favourites. I'm Chichi Nwanoku, and it's great to have your company for Radio 3 Requests this afternoon. I hope you can stay tuned for the next couple of hours. Coming up, there's music from Beethoven, Boccherini's nighttime trip around Madrid, Mozart's Sinfonia Concertante, and some birthdays to celebrate too. The Estonian composer Veljo Tormis and violinist Ruggiero Ricci, who was 92 on the 24th of July. Jonathan and Susan Taylor were both violinists with the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra. Ricci, they say, is the last great virtuoso, and they'd like to hear something to celebrate this great man and the enormous legacy he's left the world of violin playing. So here is Ricci, recorded in 1980 when he was 72, playing a Polonaise by an earlier virtuoso of the instrument, Henryk Wieniawski. Thank you.